I ran across this little story, and I thought I might share it with you. A family was crossing the U.S.-Mexico border for the first time and was asked by a customs agent, "What is your purpose for your visit?" "Well, we're going to a wedding," the mother replied. And he said, "Well, are you carrying any weapons, any knives or guns?" the agent asked. "No," the woman replied, stunned. "It's not that kind of a wedding." Tonight I want to talk to you about the home. The home is a foundation of any nation. As the home goes, so goes the nation. And that's why it's important that we have Christians' homes representing this nation, and we know what Christian homes can accomplish to His name's honor and glory. I want to talk to you tonight about sharing together for a successful marriage. If you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity." That word charity means love. "These three, but the greatest of these is charity," or love. If your marriage or any marriage is to be a success, that verse must be a part of it. If it's not, you're in trouble. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this promise in your word. May every home know what it means to have Christ at the head of their home, to direct their lives, to keep them in His will and use them for His name and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. There's a slogan that's usually used by gamblers. It says, "Round and round we go. Where we stop, no one knows." The marriage has got to that place. Instead of marriage being what God intended it to be, it's anyone's guess as to what will happen in the marriage. I don't have to tell you that today the divorce rate is shocking, and the children do most of the suffering for it all. Success in marriage consists of not only finding the right mate, but also being the right mate. The world has made marriage a joke, and in the wrong way. I'm reminded of the story of the preacher who was performing a marriage for a couple, and he said, "Do you take this man for better or worse?" Whereupon the bride said, "Pastor, he can't be any worse. And there's no hope for him getting better, so I take him as is." Marriage is perhaps the most important step in the life of any person. I don't care who you are. If you're not married, and you could look forward to the time you are, it will be the most important step in your life. As a result, it should be taken carefully and prayerfully, realizing the tremendous responsibility that goes with any marriage. Our text states in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, But the greatest of these three is love. That in itself should tell you something. Love has everything to do with marriage. And without love, there can be no marriage with God's blessings. The highest happiness in this whole earth we live in is in a marriage that has been sanctified by God. Every man who is happily married is a successful man, even if he's failed in everything else. Marriage is a sacred, God-given plan for men and women, and we need to understand that thoroughly. And a husband's authority to manage his own home comes from God. But he cannot exercise authority properly unless he himself subjects himself to the authority of God. Paul said, just as man is the head of the woman, so also is Christ the head of man. I say this without apology. Some men are not fit to manage their homes because they are not in submission to the Word of God or the will of God. Jesus Christ himself taught us the secret of living in fellowship with him. He said, just as a branch lives in the vine. And then went on to say, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's the foundation for success for any marriage. And when dad abdicates his position of authority in the home, mom usually assumes a role she was never intended to have. So the unhappy combination of a disinterested father and an overbearing mother oftentimes drives the children from home. They leave early. Now, let's take a close look at the marriage and the tragedy of our day and what is happening. Now, we've all seen statistics that reveal the breakdown of the family unit in our society. More than one out of every two couples who walk down the aisle to get married will eventually change their minds and end up in a court of divorce. Last year alone, over 900,000 children were born to unmarried mothers. Each month, the lives of 150,000 children are cruelly ended by abortion before they even have a chance. And incidentally, this is one of the reasons for America's deterioration. Another estimated 10 million Americans are engaged in perverse homosexual relationships. And the tragedy is these statistics represent human lives, real people who are experiencing the consequences of the refusal to follow God's plan for the marriage. Now, I used to think that Christians were exempt from the problems that other people face in their homes. But now I know that's not true at all. Because Christian homes everywhere are literally picking up the pieces of devastated marriages, and children are in rebellion in these Christians' homes, and there is bitterness and unresolved conflicts. And I'm convinced, more than ever before, these failures in Christian homes are just another indication of our great need for revival here in America. When God's people meet with Him, our God and our Savior, and are generally revived, then those unresolved conflicts and broken relationships will be healed. You've heard this before. I say it again tonight. The family that prays together, reads God's Word together, stays together. This Word of God tells us that an important part of the ministry of John the Baptist was to turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of children to their fathers. And this is the miracle that we need to take, that needs to take place in our generation today. And if it doesn't, God help America. God help the home as well as the children. Now here's something for us to think about under the circumstances. Why do we need a revival in the home? Let me tell you why. Every 18 seconds, a woman is beaten by her husband or a boyfriend. And in 25 to 50% of all marriages, there is family violence. Lloyd's of London, perhaps the greatest insurance company in the world, will insure almost anything under the sun, including the weather. But even Lloyd's of London will not insure the success of a marriage. That ought to say something to all of us. Marriages sometimes break up, not because a husband and wife may have nothing in common, but because of those feelings which they share in common. That is, feelings of neglect. And above all things, I have found out, no communication between the husband and the wife. I reminded the pastor called to the home of a woman who was married, and her marriage was on the rocks. And so the pastor said to her, "Ma'am, do your husband and you have anything in common?" "Yes," the woman said, "neither of us can stand the other." Now that may be true, and it's a tragedy to have to say that. And yet it's happening in many homes in America today. Now let's take a look at some reasons why marriages fall apart. The whole philosophy of our society is basically wrong. I say that because it's selfish. We're looking for our own fulfillment and our own happiness, rather than giving ourselves to someone else for their fulfillment with the ultimate purpose of glorifying God. Hear me now. Real love is totally giving of self to meet the needs of others. I don't know how to put it any better. To meet the needs of others without expecting anything in return. But you see, the popular conception of our day has caused people to enter into marriage, not for the love and the fellowship, but what they can get out of it for themselves. Most people go into marriage clinging to their own expectations and their own rights. But the Bible approach to marriage is a commitment to give without any expectations of receiving. That is the bottom line of two becoming one flesh. That way, anything I do receive from God or my mate is a blessing. And that's more than I expected to deserve. Our problem today is too many people are not really committed to anything, let alone marriage. Our attitude seems to be, try it. If you like it, stay with it. But if it's not satisfying to you, give it up. Get out of it. Find something that works. That, my friend, is the world's advice. And that's exactly the attitude many people are taking in everything today. If you don't want to go to work, call in sick. If you don't want to study, just cheat. If your marriage doesn't work out, drop your mate. Find another one. Now listen, folk. This Bible, God Himself, puts you and I in a blinding relationship that we cannot get out of. It's like a vice. And if we stay in that vice, we can turn up the fire, burn off the dross, purify the gold, and it'll transform our lives and our marriages. But with our human reason and emotions, we have tampered with what God has already established. God's plan then is for marriage were to be vows to be binding not for a year or 2 years or 5 years, but for a lifetime. But many are determined they will get out of the binding relationship of marriage, whatever it takes. Now listen careful to me, all of you husbands and wives. With that kind of attitude, you don't even open the door of opportunity for God to release His power, His grace, His strength, and His love in your marriage. Believe me, with that attitude, you are asking for a peck of trouble, and believe me, you'll get it. And don't go looking for options in your marriage. Don't let your mind or your emotions change you. There's only one option, not two or three, but one. Let God do the changing. And don't try to change your partner. Don't run from the pressures that arise in your marriage. Don't try to get out of your marriage because you don't think it will work. My God is big enough to overcome all of my circumstances if I put my trust in Him. And I believe it's time for us to focus on the needs that we need to change our life by the grace of God. We need to be submissive to His will for our marriage if it's going to be successful. And you wives that have good Christian husbands that love you and they honor you, His authority over you is only restrictive if you have a stubborn will or an unyielding spirit. You should thank God He loves you enough He puts restrictions on you. He does it in order to conform to God's plans. And ladies, understand, submission is not negative. In fact, it's a positive attitude that allows God's power to be released in your life as well as your marriage. And if your husband makes a wrong decision, and he will many times, believe me, remember, God is greater than any wrong decision he makes. In fact, God is in total control. And he can change your husband's heart if he chooses to. And oftentimes, the wife and the children are blessed of God for obeying what may be a wrong decision on the part of the husband. And wives, if you know your husbands as you should, God will give you the grace to put up with his head mistakes. And if a woman believes that God is bigger than her husband, then she can trust God to work in her husband's life and change his heart. But on the other hand, wives need to know how much their submissive spirit affects their husbands. The right attitude and the right spirit will stop your husband from making selfish motives and provide spiritual leadership for his family. Any husband who belongs to the family of God, unless he's backslidden, of course, finds deep fulfillment as his wife submits and allows him to protect, to lead, and care for her. That's his job. He wants to do it if he's any kind of a husband at all. The rebellious wife is merely looking for trouble, and surely she will find it. And men, when you come home from work, tired, you've had a hectic day, your nerves are on edge, it's very easy to let yourself explode if things are not the way you think they should be at home. But remember this. She may have had just as a hectic day as you, and probably more so. Husbands, you are to minister to your wife's needs, showing signs of sympathy and love with all understanding. It simply means you are to set an example that your own wife can follow. And it sometimes means reinforcing her leadership with the children. The first priority of any Christian husband is threefold. One, you be the right husband. Two, you be the right partner for your wife. And you be the right parent for your children. Husbands and fathers need to stop squeezing their wife and children into his schedule and start building a schedule around them and their needs. When you do that, your family will be your ministry, and you'll work your head off to make it be a success to God's glory. It should be top priority in your heart and your life. Now, if you are demanding a husband and insist your wife and family fit into your incredible schedule, then you're not the father and you're not the husband you ought to be. It is nothing but pride in your heart and life that hinders a genuine communication of love to your family and to your wife. And get this now. Every wife needs to know from your lips, men, husbands, and your heart, that you can't do without her. She's a living part of you. Doesn't the Word of God say, when we get saved, when we get married, two become one flesh? Certainly. Then, of course, eventually, husband and wives grow old together. Then suddenly, one of them is taken and the other left. And in many cases, the other dies shortly after because of a broken heart. Please hear me. I know from experience. Please hear me. Don't wait until God takes one of you to express your love to her. Do it now. Do it while she's living. Let her know you love her. Let her know you're back of her 100%. Let her know you're the best thing that ever happened to you. When I look back on my ministry, I can honestly say from my heart that my wife gave diligently and sacrificially of herself to my ministry and also to raise her children and meet the needs of her husband. She was God's testimony as a wife and a mother, and I have five boys here that could stand up and testify that's the truth. Oftentimes, if anybody knows me well, I can lose my temper once in a while. Oftentimes, she was the balance to my temperament as well as my personality. In fact, she knew all about my shortcomings. I couldn't hide a thing from her. But you know something? We always worked as a team. And we were always very careful not to express any unkind words to one another. My wife had a good arrangement for getting along peaceably in the home with me. I rule the roost. She rules the rooster. And you'll find that out. Now that's funny, but it's serious, and I mean it. Now let me say it right now. And I've found over the years, this is one of the things that separate husbands and wives so much. Communication. Communication between husband and wife. And I'm talking about the right kind of communication. If you have the right kind of communication one with another, it'll overcome many, many roadblocks in your marriage. Sarcastic and hateful comments are always a threat to a loving communication. The tongue can be used as a weapon to deeply hurt your mate, or it can be a tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit to cement a God-ordained marriage. But both husband and wife must partake in that kind of a marriage. Now let me bring this message to a close by summing up the responsibilities of the home. This is important. Happiness at home is not assumed by the acquisition of material things. Do you hear what I say? It's not assured by an arrangement of outward circumstances. There are some who would have you believe all one has to do to bring tranquility into the home is to acquire a brand new home or some new furniture or a nice big automobile. I wish it were that simple. But it's not, and you know it's not. first above all things, we must control our tongues. We must pray the prayer of the psalmist in the 141st Psalm and the third verse. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the doors of my lips. I don't know how I could or anybody else could say it any better than that. But oftentimes, we grow careless. And we say things to members of our family that we never think of saying to a total stranger on the outside. To have a harmonious, emotional, stable family, we've got to disciple our wayward tongues. I do not believe, and I brag on this, and I don't care whether you like it or not. I do not believe any of my five boys ever witnessed a wrong attitude between my wife and myself. As long as they were in our home. We made it our business to make sure that we lived a life that they could not take out of the home and say anything about. Then second, we must learn the art of putting ourselves in another person's place. You know something? It's amazing how one can live with a mate for years, but never know them. Think about it. There are people who live with a mate for years, and they really never know them. And this is true in many homes today. And third, we must cultivate a forgiving spirit toward our mates. We are told love covers a multitude of sin. Why not put it to practice with our wives and families? It works every time. If a husband or wife harbor resentment toward each other, then they contribute to domestic tension, and the entire family suffers because of it. Many homes have been literally shattered by unbearable relationship because of continual contention in the home and in the marriage. And believe me, from experience, and I'm saying the same thing with you, it isn't always easy to ask forgiveness. It requires humility, often. It isn't easy to confess one's own sin. It isn't easy to confess our own mistakes. It's much, much easier to point a finger at others and confess their sins. That's gossip. Shouldn't be practiced by any Christian. If any couple is too proud to acknowledge that they are wrong, too proud to break down and confess frankly their own guilt and their own shortcomings, then that marriage is not on solid footing at all. In closing, the best insurance against a broken home is to make Jesus Christ the head of your home and yourselves. Believe me, it works every time. It never fails. Now it's your move. What are you going to do about your marriage? Let's pray. Father, we've tried our best to make this just as simple as we possibly can, so there's no misunderstanding. of the love that husbands and wives should have together, in the home, out of the home, to respect and honor each other, to live for each other, to brag about each other. So often we fail, our wives and our husbands. Tonight, help us to take inventory of our own lives. And if we failed in one little bit, help us to come down to this altar in the front, get on our knees before God, and say, Lord, I haven't done the right thing with my wife or my friend or someone else. I need to confess it and get it right tonight. For Jesus' sake, for I ask it in His name, amen and amen.